Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. Let's talk immigration. We watch every day as our border is overwhelmed and both sides are fighting over what the answer is, but we don't seem to have a solution. I know, obviously, the majority of the problem here is the person who's in the highest office in the land doesn't want to have a solution on this. But I'm excited to have a woman with me today who is an immigrant herself and has actually done some legal work to protect our border. Mehek Cook has worked for candidates for political office, and she's also run herself. We're going to chat about all of that, including a recent poll showing the majority of Americans believe the American dream is dead, which I think is so sad, completely devastating, because I think that's one of the coolest parts about America. But we're going to get into that. First, I need to talk to you about America's health, specifically your health, because you can't put a price on your health. I stay energized and keep doing what I love every day because I get the maximum servings and nutrition of fruits and vegetables because I rely on Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule to give me the maximum nutrition of 31 real whole fruits and veggies every single day. Balance of Nature is giving all listeners 35% off any first preferred order plus free shipping with promo code TUDOR. Just go to balanceofnature.com and enter promo code TUDOR to get started today. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule are powdered after an advanced vacuum cold process, keeping the maximum nutrition intact. Put your health first the easy way with Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Get 35% off your first preferred order, shipped to you free with promo code TUDOR at balanceofnature.com. I feel confident about my health because of Balance of Nature. Check out all the testimonials from people like you on their website and see how Balance of Nature is making a difference in their lives. Go now to balanceofnature.com and get 35% off your first preferred shipped order, shipped free with promo code TUDOR. All right, now let's bring in Mehek Cook to the podcast. She is a Republican strategist and attorney. Mehek, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a great opportunity.
I love having people that can tell me, teach me things, tell our audience stuff, and bring a new perspective. You are an immigrant, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that because obviously we're seeing a lot going on today. People are questioning if some of these protests that are getting more and more violent. Just over the weekend, I want to say that over the weekend in Michigan, there were protesters outside of Governor Whitmer's house, and they were chanting 1, 2, 3, 4, Governor Whitmer, open the door, 5, 6, 7, 8, America is a terrorist state. I think a lot of people are concerned, who is coming across our border? And do these people really believe that? What's the next step? If you're willing to stand outside of a governor's mansion in a state and threaten them, what is the next step? So what are you seeing from that perspective?
We have an immigration crisis. There's no doubt. I think every politician talks about this, but I had the opportunity firsthand to go to McAllen, Texas and visit the southern border. These are shots that you don't get to see on television. There's so much hidden today from the media. We have illegal immigrants that are crossing at a record high. And when you talk about terrorism today, if we don't secure our border, this is a national security threat. We had a chief that has recently retired discuss how god awful the state of our border is. There is no wall, so there's no deterrent. There's no surveillance, so we don't have any type of airborne activity that could help even detect individuals. What these border patrol officers truly are babysitters. They'll tell you that. There's not enough of them. So when an individual comes in, and I met with many of them at the Catholic Charities in McAllen, Texas, they're processed. They're handed over to places like Catholic Charities. They stay there for 3 days, and then they're shipped off to any part in the United States. So we are truly a border state. Any state that you live in, it does not matter if you're in Texas or any other state. So it's been shocking to see. And our DHS secretary has just said he does not know the number of individuals that are coming into our border. There are so many gotaways. So it's truly a life or death matter if we don't secure our border.
Yeah, we're talking millions since Joe Biden has taken office. I think something key that you said is that there's no border wall. And we know that Donald Trump was building a border wall. We have a border wall in some areas. It has not been kept up since Joe Biden took office. There were a lot more materials. And let me be clear about something. The materials were there to continue building the wall. They were waiting for someone to build them as soon as Joe Biden took over. Not only did he not build the wall, but then he sold off the materials. And then lo and behold, a few weeks ago, very quietly, we started to hear from the Biden administration, okay, we're going to start building that wall again. We do think that that wall is important. And you can tell that they're flustered. They don't know exactly what to do. Like I said, we are talking millions of people coming across now, and there is no way to sugarcoat this. I mean, even Karine Jean-Pierre is looking for her words. And let's face it, she has them written right in front of her, every statement. She reads everything that she's going to say, and she still doesn't know what to say about the border wall.
Well, it's because they're hiding the truth, right? Like, you can look at the data today. Since Biden took office, 6.2 million illegal immigrants. And we talk about terrorists alone, 169 individuals that were apprehended in 2023. So the Biden administration now is trying to put a Band-Aid on a problem that we should have been solving from day one. Under President Trump, we were more secure. We were more stable. Our economy was doing better. Now we have a fentanyl crisis, a human trafficking crisis, and an illegal immigrant crisis. And Biden continues to give money to blue cities to house these individuals. I can tell you firsthand in Columbus, Ohio, unfortunately, after the Afghanistan withdrawal that happened, there were so many Afghani refugees that came here to several properties of a client that I have and stayed there. And guess what? All government handouts. Now, they're good people, but we don't know their background. We don't know their criminal history. We are not doing our due diligence today. So we are more unsafe than ever before.
You talk about human trafficking. I want to get into that a little bit because you are in Ohio. Ohio just had a no limits abortion. Is that a constitutional amendment in Ohio?
Yes, there was a constitutional amendment that passed, no limits abortion.
So no limits abortion. And just to be clear, this is where we are in the United States today. And we talked about this a few days ago on the podcast. The majority of the Western world, and when I say the majority, the only real country that is outside of a 10 to 14 week span, you've got, I think it's the Netherlands that is 24 weeks. But outside of that, everybody else is falling within this 10 to 14 week span. In Ohio, and I think six other states in the United States, we have no limits abortion at a time when we see rising human trafficking. I think we're number two in the entire world for human trafficking. This is a pedophile, a trafficker, a predator's dream bill, because they don't have to have parental consent. They can take a girl over and over and over again. No one's going to ask any questions. It doesn't matter what level of a pregnancy she's in. The problem with bills like this is they are incredibly dangerous to women, and they promote trafficking in a way that people cannot imagine. What do you say about the fact that you've got all these life groups that are saying we can ban abortion completely, but the effect that they're having is no limits abortion?
I think we have to come to a common sense, right? I am pro-life unapologetically, but at the same time, Governor DeWine in our state said it best. He represents millions of Ohioans, and that's not where Ohio was. But he and so many other individuals kept stating, do not pass this amendment because it will allow for full-term abortions. We have to find common sense. We have to find consensus. I think that your ban that you talk about between 12 to 14 or 12 to 15 weeks when an unborn child can feel pain, that's about the place that many states need to start considering and governors need to start considering, because mark my words, the ACLU did it in Michigan. They have done it in Ohio. They circumvented our state legislature. They circumvented the governor. They went straight to individuals and said, you need reproductive rights. You're not going to have contraceptions. You're not going to be able to even have miscarriage care. So they peddled lies, millions of dollars backing it. And guess what? At the end of the day, we lost in Ohio. We lost the ability to save lives because we couldn't get behind a common sense ban, a common sense, thoughtful place where rape and incest, in my opinion, should be included, and common sense in terms of the number of weeks. So this has become very extreme. And again, this is going to be in the ballot state by state through not the legislature, not the governor. It's going to go state by state to the people. And the ACLU is going to continue to lie.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's important that we talk about this in terms that are realistic, because When we think about Roe v. Wade, I mean, nobody talked about Roe v. Wade as a ban. That was just a restriction. You could, after viability, you weren't allowed to have an abortion. And we're talking about abortion restrictions. I think the terminology is really important here because we're talking about common sense restrictions. And if you say 15 weeks is a common sense restriction, how can you argue with that when I just told you that there are almost no Western countries that allow it after 14 weeks. So we're talking about 15 weeks, but also I think that something that people don't understand is when these abortion amendments pass in states, nothing else, there can be no protections put into place. And so like in Michigan, and I believe Ohio is the same, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have no parental consent. And that cannot be reversed. We've been told by experts that what will likely happen is that likely a young woman will die and the parents will sue, and that will then alter the state government. They'll say, gosh, you know, we really have to figure out a way to have a protection on this. Once it's in the Constitution, it's challenging because trying to put a protection around it would then be unconstitutional. And I think that's what people are not understanding. It goes beyond just, you know, it's abortion or no abortion. It's unsafe abortion.
You're right. And restriction is the correct terminology. What we fought really hard in Ohio for, and I was the spokeswoman for Protect Women Ohio, was protect these children, protect your parental rights and notification. We had an unfortunate case where a 15-year-old girl was forced to get an abortion by her soccer coach. He called Planned Parenthood, pretended to be her dad. And it's shocking that Planned Parenthood didn't have the parent come in, and there was a settlement reached on this, but it's going to encourage more young girls being exploited. And human trafficking is really big in Ohio. We are part of a highway system where these girls are trafficked through our state. We have a huge system called the Catch Court where we're trying to help these women that have been human trafficked get back on the street. So parental consent's being eviscerated. And we pointed to Michigan. We said, look at that state up north. They're losing parental consent. Let us be part of those decisions. These are our children. And at the end of the day, the decision wasn't about parental consent versus not. It was truly parental consent versus what everybody pushed in Ohio was this 6-week ban. It's pending in our courts today, but it doesn't matter. As you said it best, the Constitution trumps state law. So we cannot have parental consent. We can't have just common sense safety measures for women. We can't ensure ambulatory care that is close for somebody who is performing an abortion. And God forbid they need help, which, by the way, happened last month. There's a woman who bled and continued to bleed because there was no ambulatory care close as she was getting an abortion. So this is truly about women's health and not necessarily what people think of as a ban. We need restrictions. We need to be thoughtful. We need to find a common sense, and every state needs to determine that. But we can't lose parental consent. It's being eviscerated throughout our country.
It's been really effective, though, for Democrats to come out and say that Republicans are anti-woman, which I think is interesting because I would say that something that promotes trafficking, something that promotes the harm of women, is anti-woman. And really, it has to be fully looked at, and there has to be a full discussion. Now, I will preface this by saying I blame our side because we have not done a good job of educating. We have not done a good job of targeting women and explaining what we mean. And I complained about this a few weeks ago in Michigan, or a few days ago on the podcast. In Michigan, the biggest message was that this Prop 3 was too confusing, too extreme. That was it. That was the extent of the education campaign for people, whether they're going to vote or not vote. That's not enough. People don't understand what that means. And so I believe that Republicans have to do a better job of this. But I think in general, some of these things are not political. They are more cultural. And I just talked to Riley Gaines about this, too, with these trans athletes, because, again, you have this situation in New Jersey where this man is swimming on a woman's team. He's breaking records. The NCAA has decided they're going to step out of it from a national standpoint. They're going to let states make their individual decisions as to whether or not a trans woman can swim with the biological women. And so ultimately what you have is no controlling factor, no protective factor. And I like to think about government as we only want government to step in when we absolutely need a group protected. In this case, we need women protected. That was what Title IX was supposed to do. And that's what organizations like the NCAA should be looking at. But they are not looking at that. They're saying, we're going to throw this back to individual states. Individual states can make this decision. Well, that's hurting women, because now you have these records that were set in New Jersey, that you may have a woman who is somewhat quote unquote protected in Florida, but she can't beat those records. And now those are records that are on the books. So how do we start talking about these things in a way where we are no longer driving people away? And like I said, I don't necessarily think these are political conversations. I think these are conversations of just education and reality.
Well, I think you've nailed it. The left has always had the easiest message. When it came to abortion, it was reproductive freedom. You have to protect your reproductive freedom. When it comes to transgender ideology, it's allowing for equal pay, equal access, and equal play. So they have always had this very easy message. And then we're stuck in a box, backpedaling to say, well, that's not true, and this is false. And let's start with our own narrative. Let's start with compassion. Let's start with empathy. Let's start with the fact that if transgender students truly want a lane, let's create that, because we're not going to be able to battle this, right? There are children that are unfortunately going through this confusing journey. Some of them decide not to transition fully. Some of them do. And as they do, especially when they're 18 and making those decisions, we need to be there for them. We need to be a community and a resource. And part of that is giving them a lane, giving them the comfort that we give male and females. But to put them in male and female sports is a disservice to women. And I think that explanation has to happen. And the NCAA needs to step in. I think the WNBA, if you're playing women's basketball, depending on what sport, especially nationally, they need to set standards that trickle down. And if they're not, then schools need to start stepping up. We need more thoughtfulness coming from our parent groups and schools, because this is not acceptable.
Well, and I think that's something Riley Gaines said, something interesting. She said, I changed my opinion on this, and I decided instead of saying that we need an outside group to come in and protect women, that women should refuse to compete if there is a transgender woman on the team. And I think that's an interesting perspective, because again, I've said this politically doesn't work, because as a politician, if you talk about this, it looks like you are going after kids who are in a situation that is a tough situation. And making a lane in and of itself, it doesn't seem to be satisfying to those groups. But for the girls who have spent their lives training for this moment, those are probably the people that need to speak up. And this may be the generation that does something pretty incredible to protect women's sports. And I think every generation has kind of had a moment where they've had to fight for women's rights. It's been a continual battle. It will always likely be a battle. I mean, you see it even when you're campaigning, even when you are at work. You see the differences in the way women are treated than the ways men are treated. So there's always going to be that battle out there. But I just think that this is an interesting time to encourage those women to be the change themselves.
I agree with you. And I think part of it is showing the compassion, but the other part, and I've seen this in some of these instances, women are walking away from the table, and I applaud them. I think it's really difficult after you've put in 5, 10, 15 years of your life training for that one medal, that one time. But at the same time, if you can't create the lane, then you have to walk away, because that's the only way we're going to gain respect. It's not staying there. It's not continuing to compete. It's not bowing down to the left, because I truly think there's a small minority of people that believe that this is okay. Women need to come together. And I do think there's a new generation of young women that are starting to stand up for themselves. And every generation we go through some changes, we take 5 steps back, we take 10 steps forward. And I think that women's sports, and I'm a sports agent, I represent women and men at the Ohio State University and several other universities here in Ohio. We fortunately have not had those situations. But when you talk to some of these young female athletes, they have worked since they were 4 or 5 years old for that one dream, that one medal. So as they're continuing to be pushed and infiltrated by the left, they need to stand strong. They need to make sure that if there's not a different lane created by the university, then they have the power to walk away.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives, like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let me talk to you a little bit about what you think that candidates should be focused on, because we've obviously talked about what isn't working politically. And I know that that is not going to make a lot of people happy. But if you really look, if you kind of peel back the layers of the political onion, the social issues are not working because that's not really what's impacting most people's everyday lives. But you've been involved in prosecuting and working on the legal side of criminal cases that involve corruption, terrorism, drug trafficking, money laundering, all of these different issues. You've seen the immigration problems. You've seen the problems with people that are going to a life of crime because of the situation with inflation and the problems with that people are having with the economy right now. What, based on what you've seen in the past few years politically and what you've seen from a legal standpoint, what would you say are the biggest issues that Republicans should be focused on right now?
I think the most important thing is for law enforcement to enforce the law. That's not happening today. Across the country, Americans are seeing that there's no equity in our judicial system. There's no law enforcement, that some people are getting away with things that they shouldn't be. So first and foremost, there needs to be more law enforcement and more understanding that we need to back the blue. That really did disappear for a while in the last couple of years. And without that strength and that communal support, it doesn't matter whether you're prosecuting prosecuting cases, whether you have increased immigration oversight, all of it will collapse if we don't have a strong police force. And then I think in terms of immigration, the most important thing is going back to the policies of our previous administration, remain in Mexico, making sure we have increased surveillance, making sure we have increased border security. And the number one thing that I continue to hear is most of these illegal immigrants are coming for asylum. No, they're not. They don't have a case for asylum. I have spoken to many of them. They're coming here for the American dream, and I applaud that, but they need to do it legally. Asylum is for persecution. Asylum is for, I worked on a case where a young woman was genitally mutilated and she was fleeing her country. Those are asylum cases. It's not because you want to come to the United States and pursue the American dream. You have to do it legally. And then lastly, when we look at the overall state of Bidenomics, I mean, regardless of what president we have today, we still have to follow the law. We still have to be upstanding citizens because we will not be able to attain the American dream. We will not be able to be successful if we continue to blame, if we continue to act like victims, if we continue to look for handouts. So at some point, we have to look inward. We have to look at our family union, and we need to go back to that moral compass that actually binds us together. And then I think our next presidential election, we can hope for better top-down economics, law and policy, immigration. That's what's going to change the country and make sure that people believe in the American dream again.
So speaking of the American dream, we said that there was a poll that came out. Majority of Americans think the American dream is dead. Obviously, you know that there are people crossing that border in hopes of achieving the American dream. Your family came here in hopes of achieving the American dream. It looks as though you were fairly successful in that. So tell me, when you see that, when you see a poll like that, that says most Americans are like, yeah, that can't happen. What's your reaction to that?
I've always been somebody who has pushed and talks about perseverance. Nothing in our lives was perfect. I mean, I was born in India, came to this country when I was 5 years old, lived with 10 family members. I remember the first time that I decided that I wanted to go to law school. I was told by so many people, well, you've got to be really good, and lawyers are a dime a dozen. And then I remember saying I wanted to work at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and somebody at the U.S. Attorney's Office told me, well, we look for individuals who have longevity here, and you've not been a career prosecutor. And every little part of my life, I have been told no. I was told I can't do media commentary because I haven't worked for a president yet. I mean, every single roadblock is what Americans feel on a daily basis because of Biden. What my message is, though, is you get what you have the courage to seek. And if you continue to persevere, when one door closes, another one opens, and you take those opportunities and you take those risks and you're comfortable being uncomfortable. And by the way, we're all uncomfortable right now. The state of the economy is in shambles. Our 401ks are decreasing. Mortgage rates are increasing. Schools are abysmal after COVID. We're starting to see what our children are being educated. But the bottom line is we have to believe that prosperity is possible, but it starts from within. It starts from knowing that you can achieve anything through hard work and perseverance. And I truly believe that. I watched my father work 3 jobs for 7 years straight before we were able to afford our own home. And as I see these polls today, I know where it's coming from. We're looking at the TVs, we're looking at our bank accounts, and things are tough, but this is the opportunity for us to get back up. This is the opportunity for us to persevere.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that saying, hard times make strong men, good times make weak men. And I think that when we see folks right now who are saying the American dream is unattainable, I don't know that it really is, or if the effort is not there from this generation of young people who are coming in and just wanting to have a great Instagram channel or something that is just quick and easy. They want those quick dollars to come in, and that it takes hard work. I mean, people don't achieve, the American dream doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you have to go into. You have to push hard. Oftentimes you have several failures. I mean, that's something that I think that this generation is not familiar with. Failure is okay. You learn from failure, and then you start over and you push harder, and you have to navigate all of the things that come at you. But hard work is what gets you to the American dream. And I don't know that hard work is something that a lot of young people these days are willing to put in.
Well, I think you nailed it. It's instant gratification. It's the fact that you can completely sit on a couch, Amazon, whatever you need. You can get on Instagram. You can make money on social media. But I truly think there's going to be a change in this generation. And I am constantly hopeful for every kid that I meet that thinks that they should be paid $120,000 upon graduating with no experience. I always meet that one kid whose parents sat down with them at the dinner table, who talked about work ethic, who talked about achieving the American dream, who talked about not taking government handouts. So it's definitely possible, but I do think it starts with the family unit, right? I didn't learn what I learned on my own. It was truly my grandparents, parents, uncles, cousins, everybody running around in the house. In the midst of chaos, there was a calm, because we knew we were a family when we came together. And I think as we continue to get attacked from the left, more and more families are going to start sitting down together for dinner. That's the number one thing families can do, to check on their children, to ask about their days, to try and find that moment of calm in the chaos that we're experiencing today. And that's how you're going to start getting to work ethic, grinding, and pushing our children to achieve the American dream in the future.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme of our guests lately, is spend time with family. Just make sure that you are pouring into your kids. And that time that you think is just, I'm just here getting you lunch, I'm helping you get off to school, I'm helping you get to your next event, that still is time that you are spending with your family. So make sure you are pouring into them in those moments in between. The in-between moments are just as important as the moments where you're sitting down to dinner. I really enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you so much for being here. Mehak Cook, make sure you check out. Tell us, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Mehak Cook, Facebook at Cook for Ohio, and I really appreciate this opportunity to just share my American dream and hopes for our future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining me on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to tudordixonpodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join me next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.